Welcome back to New Creation Woman, where we chat all things beautiful and ugly about biblical womanhood through the restoration lens of Christ. Today we have a very special sister in Christ with us, Mandy.
Hi.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
And you might recognize my mother, Laura Lee.
Hello.
And we have Audrey Horner back with us
Yay.
Today. Alrighty. So yeah, we're going to give Mandy the floor. She's going to share her testimony with us. I actually am excited because I don't know it. So she's going to be kind of telling it to the first time for some of us. But I've heard from you that
amazing.
It's pretty powerful.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you, first of all, for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank
sharing
you for having
you.
Me.
Yes, it's an amazing testimony, and I pray that those that are watching will be blessed and healed, delivered, and set free, just
Absolutely.
Like the Lord has done that for you, because we are new creations, new creatures. That's what this whole program is about. So,
so I first met the Lord, I think it was 1999. I actually moved here from Texas. My background was Catholicism, and, you know, I really didn't have that connection, you know. I was invited to a youth group in a basement of a little Baptist church, and that's where I, you know, accepted the Lord, and my whole life changed. You know, it went from I was kind of a partier in high school to all of a sudden I didn't want to do that, you know, and I just started feeling that sense of purpose. I did get married to a man that I met in the church in 2001. And, you know, we were married for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I had a son who's 21 now.
Wow. You look too young.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's God's grace right there.
Amen.
But, you know, when I think back, I wasn't really seeking what God's will was for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I met him, and I wanted to be married. I wanted a family. And, you know, I never once consulted God as to whether that was who I was supposed to marry or not.
Yeah.
You know, it was more for my own personal reasons of, you know, wanting to be loved. And my home life wasn't, you know, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't, I didn't have that connection with my parents. You know, we were married. I was married for 10 years. He struggled with addiction. So he ended up getting addicted to heroin. And eventually it just got to a point where I felt like I couldn't do it anymore. His, you know, we met in the church. We were seeking God in the beginning. And then with his addiction, we kind of fell out of that. So our marriage didn't really have a foundation. When we got divorced, I guess I would say I was kind of angry at God. You know, we talked about that earlier where, you know, you kind of blame God. And I was mad at him, like, why is my family, you know, falling apart? And then because I was at that point just completely selfish. You know, it was about me. I wanted to feel better. You know, I started going out and drinking, and I met a man who, it was kind of one of those, I thought he was my soulmate type of situations. He was my knight in shiny armor. He told me everything that I wanted to hear, but there was absolutely no, God was not in it at all. You know, we met at a bar. That was, you know, the relationship. I think it was 3 months I moved in with him, you know, and it was just a completely worldly relationship. And he went from being that knight in shining armor to, you know, verbally abusing me. And it was very kind of sly at first. You know, it was the insults disguised as jokes where, you know, I started questioning myself. And, you know, I started thinking, well, is there something wrong with me? You know, am I really that difficult? The verbal abuse, it was probably, 3 months into the relationship, it turned into physical. And the first event, you know, happened, it was pretty traumatic. And I was just kind of in disbelief that it even happened. He actually held a gun to my head, among some other things. And what's funny is because I was doubting who I was, and I was, you know, really questioning my own, not only self-worth, but my sanity. Yeah. Am I crazy? Mm-hmm. You know, and I found myself apologizing to him. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like I brought it on, you know. Wow. That continued for, I was with him for a total of 6 years.
Wow. That's a long time to suffer abuse.
Yeah. And, you know, it was, it just escalated. I was always one of those women who said, I would never let a man. Mm-hmm. And it was easy to form an opinion until I became that woman. Mm-hmm. And I never saw it coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I was so distant from God, mm-hmm. I didn't have that to fall back on. It was kind of like I was just on this downward spiral. I became really depressed. Mm-hmm. I was drinking on top of it just because I didn't want to feel.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Trying to numb.
Yeah.
I can relate.
And I got to a point where I got really depressed. I didn't want to get out of bed. You know, and I think that was around the time that I started praying. Mm-hmm. And when I was praying, my prayer was for God not to wake me up.
Yeah.
And because I didn't want to be me anymore.
Yeah. Wow.
And I remember there was one incident where, you know, he asked me, he was like, what's wrong with you? Because I just couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't handle daily tasks. And I said, well, I think I'm depressed. And I remember he looked at me and he said, well, you should do everyone a favor and kill yourself. And that was when I tried to take my life. Because I just thought, this is as good as it's ever going to get. Mm-hmm. You know, the abuse had escalated from, you know, the pushing and the shoving to him actually, like, straight punching me in the face. Having my arm almost broken, my jaw almost broken. You know, among some other situations, but I was just, I thought that I was just defective, mm-hmm. that, you know, no one was going to love me. I went through, you know, I went through some counseling there, but again, God wasn't the basis. He wasn't the foundation. So, you know, it kind of worked to an extent, but I was still drinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It got to a point then where I ended up getting 2 black eyes, and I went out and I got completely annihilated, and I wrecked my car. Mm-hmm. I got a DUI, and because I had wrecked my car, I was in the hospital. I missed my court date. Mm. So they put a bench warrant out for my arrest.
Wow.
I've never had a speeding ticket in my life.
Jeez.
And I went from clean driving record to no bond. Wow. 2 weeks in jail.
No way.
And
wow.
How amazing God is even though in spite of myself, you know, all me turning my back and just living my life for me, He still met me mm-hmm. in my mess, mm-hmm. where I just so happened to be in the pod, is what they call it, at the jail. Every night before we would get put in our cells, we would stand in a circle, and all the women would hold hands, and we would pray.
Wow.
And I'm like, of all pods that I could have been put in, yeah. like that was the one where there's these women that are like, we're going to pray before we go in. And that's really what started stirring my heart. You know, the only thing to read in jail is a Bible. Mm-hmm. So, and there's nothing else to do. So, you know, I started reading and I had that peace where I didn't feel horrible. I didn't feel completely ashamed. I didn't, you know, just, I wasn't beating myself up. It was that glimmer of hope, that little bit of, you know, stirring. And that's what started pushing me to really start to pray on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Honest prayers. Mm-hmm. The last situation that took place before I decided to leave was, and it was, you know, we got into an argument. There was a lot of physical abuse. I was covered head to toe in bruises. Mm. And it progressed from just physical abuse to strangulation. And I remember specifically the last thing that he said to me. He had me pinned to the kitchen floor, and he had one hand. I was trying to yell and scream because the one neighbor that he had was a police officer, but he didn't hear me. But he had his hand over my mouth and my nose, and he had one hand on my throat. And I'm thinking to myself, this is it. If I don't fight, I'm not going to live to see tomorrow. And there's nothing in me physically that I could have done to overpower him. But I knew that I had to fight as hard as I could. Because at that moment, you know, all the depression, everything, I knew in that moment that I didn't want to die. And, you know, I fought as hard as I could, and he looked at me and he laughed. And he said, "Mandy, quit fighting me. You're not stronger than me." And that's kind of what threw me into, you know, the next day, he didn't come home, and I was just beside myself. And it's that thought, you know, those my thoughts started becoming clear, where I was like, why am I so upset about this, over this man who wasn't showing me true, honest love? And that's when I broke. That's when I cried out, and I remember saying Abba, because it was just one of those moments where I needed my dad. That's usually what gets me, because he met me, and it's funny because when I said, "God, I'm sorry, I need you, I cannot leave this man. I need you to do it for me." And it was almost like God said to me, "Mandy, stop fighting me."
Wow.
You're not stronger than me.
And, you know, I was just like, I mean, I poured my heart out. I prayed for probably hours, just anything and everything I could possibly think of. And I woke up the next day. I didn't even care where he had been. You know, it was like I just had that, I had hope that I hadn't had in forever. And I wanted more of that. And it was, you know, when people say they jumped in head first, I jumped in heart first. And I just pursued and chased after him. And, you know, that's what gave me the strength. You know, it was like I planned, and it was maybe a week or two after. But I had planned, I had put money away, and, you know, I had knew that I was going to have to leave when he wasn't home. And that's what I did. I packed up as much as I could fit in my little two-door Pontiac Sunfire, and I left everything else.
Wow.
And I had no idea where I was going to go. And even though I didn't know what my future held, I didn't care. You know, I knew that he was there. So, you know, I left. I ended up staying with my parents. And it's so crazy because, I mean, he's all I had. I didn't have friends. I wasn't allowed to have friends.
Wow.
You know, so I didn't have people that I was close enough to for that support. And I, it was 8 months. You know, I left with no money, no furniture, no belongings. And in 8 months, I was able to buy a home.
Wow.
So I bought my first home.
Wow.
My own. I had no furniture. I slept on a mattress on the floor.
But you had a house. Wow.
But it's just crazy, just, you know, the things that he started doing just in that surrender and that pursuit of him and nothing else. You know, I wasn't pursuing him because I wanted him to do things for me, but I honestly just wanted God. And when I bought the house, their moving truck got delayed. So even though I owned the home, I couldn't take possession of it until they moved. And they felt so guilty, they gave me money.
Wow.
which bought me furniture.
Yeah. You know,
so it was, you know, just little things like that. And I remember the day that I went and looked at my house to make the decision, the realtor was like, she's like, well, do you want to make an offer? And I said, yes. So we walked outside, and it was a beautiful day, and then all of a sudden she's like, was that thunder? And it just started pouring. And I felt like, you know, that whole time I'd been wondering, and it was almost like this desert, and then it just broke open.
Wow.
So, and it's just gotten, I mean, I was single for 5 years. You know, I dealt with a lot of anger and, you know, bitterness. That I had to face, but I was alone. And as much as everything in me wanted to have a support network and people, God knew that I needed it to be just me and Him.
Wow. Yeah.
So, because I had some issues, you know, I had some codependency issues, you know, things like that, that He needed to teach me and show me that He's faithful, so that I could trust Him and to show me what love actually is. And just from there, I have continued to meet Mandy, this woman that I never knew existed, you know, so, yeah.
So cool. Awesome. Was there a scripture that you hung on to? Like, I should have asked you ahead of time. Sorry about that. But
well, I will never leave you or forsake you. I used to write scripture on Post-its and hang them on my bathroom mirror because I needed that visual reminder, and I would read it out loud. So that way when I looked in that mirror, it wasn't my thoughts of what I thought of the reflection.
That's right.
But it was speaking what God said, you know, who He said that I am. Because I was broken, you know, I was pretty lost. And, you know, the tongue has the power of life and death, and I had a lot of word curses spoken over me, you know, that I had to combat it with His word and His truth and who He says that I am, you know, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
You know, and fearfully, you know, I looked up the definition, and it's in awe of, you know, that He made me in awe.
In awe. Amen.
So.
Yes.
That's awesome. Wow, that's a powerful, powerful testimony. And I know God has given you now a husband.
Yes, yes.
You're married now. How long? You're newlyweds.
June. We got married in June. Yeah, June 20th. So we just celebrated 8 months.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
And God has brought you guys together, and I know you just got another house and just new things. You know,
oh, yeah.
New things. It's a new season, a new everything. He makes all things new,
and so He cool. gives back what the enemy stole.
Yes,
you know.
Yep. Amen.
So,
a redeemer of time. You know, I always like resting in that, because not only like what He stole, you know, but sometimes I'm like, how can you possibly do all of that? Like, I'm asking God, right? Because it's been years and years and years. Even if you restore me, what about all that time I wasted, you know? And it's crazy, like doors will open, right? But here's something that I had to wrestle with this morning, was that God will actually close more doors than He opens for you. And I think as Christians, we're like, what? We don't want to hear that. But it's because there's a lot more things He doesn't want us to do, right? And actually very few purposeful things that we can do according to His plan and His will. And so I think that your story is so encouraging, because not only did you refuse to accept the closed door that seemed like the end of your life, until you were on that kitchen floor and it flashed in front of you and you were like, nope, I don't actually want that. And I praise God, because I feel like so many people get so close to suicide and then they take those actions that could be irreversible, and it's that last moment that they're like, wait, God, never mind. And if you aren't right with Him and you're struggling in that moment, and you don't get that opportunity. I mean, I believe an angel probably intervened, you know, and that God did probably speak through that evil man. You know what I mean? Because God can use evil people for His purpose too.
Oh,
and that you heard Him so clearly. And that you needed to surrender, not to Him, but to God, right? And that He got you, even if He broke, like, allowed you to break. Because you know how people say, oh, good God can't allow for me to ever have pain. And it's like, God doesn't allow us to have pain. You know what I mean? God doesn't intervene, because He's not a tyrant. If He intervened every time we experience pain, we wouldn't be free to love him. We wouldn't have free will. He would be in ultimate control, like a tyrant. And so in your pain, you had that beauty of what was instilled in you from before. You were raised up, right? I guess, right? Because, I mean, you didn't break. And that's a promise that God gives to us as in Proverbs, right? Like, raise your children up, train them. And then their later days, they will not go. And thank God for that and for you and for the godly parents that raised you, because on that kitchen floor you were incorruptible, because it was an incorruptible seed that was sown into you before time. And if we are predestined and we are called, then that's an incorruptible seed before eternity, which is really beautiful.
And I think that's how we get back on when we feel we've missed God and we've missed the time. Like, how do I get this back? You know, because I feel like I've wasted so much. But that goes that, you know, the gifts and call and the anointing of God are without repentance. So no matter what you do, God can, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately in my own, like, personal study, God can give it to someone else, right? But he still gave a specific assignment for you. So ultimately, he really wants you, because he gave that anointing to you, and it's going to be different than someone else's anointing. And while there will be people that will step in if we completely miss it, because God will continue, that's not his perfect purpose. He really is waiting on us. Even if that's 10 years we're missing the boat, he still wants us for that specific anointing, that specific call that he has for that time. And I think that's what brings us back, if God's truly in our heart, is, okay, God, I've messed up, but what is it that you really have me here for, right? And I want to hijack on what you were saying about sometimes we feel like, sorry, my mind
That's
just like,
okay. It's okay.
I had a thought process and I totally, God is a tyrant, right? And we're like, God, why am I going through this? Why don't you just make
We blame it.
We blame him. But you know what?
He
could be a tyrant. But on the flip side of that, God doesn't tell us in his word it's always going to be perfect and good. And in fact, if God always made our life perfect and good, then everybody would want to serve him, and it would require really no obedience to him, right? Because he would be reaching in and taking us out of situations. That's a tyrant too. Someone that makes it good all the time. And the reason I say that is, I'm not speaking that God's going to put anything bad on you. But what I'm saying is that we're not exempt. We're going to go through things, but it's his word, it's his faith, and obedience to him that's going to carry us out of that.
Amen. Amen.
Even in the darkest, most disobedient moment, you know, he can cut through
and
that.
And he uses it for, you know, our good and his glory. And, you know, just the people that I've come across in my life that, you know, have gone through the same thing, just unexpectedly, you know, women that I meet that I'm like, okay, I know this is a divine appointment that you put this person in my path specifically. I met a woman at a gas station. I saw her. I was on my way to work. I was in a hurry. And I ran in, and I'm leaving, and I see her with her two kids and bags of stuff. And I'm thinking, you're going to, you know, just, you're going to be late for work. So I'm driving to work and the Holy Spirit's like, you need to turn around. And I'm like, I have to turn around. And I did. And she had a very similar, you know, experience. She was just left an abusive relationship and she had nowhere to go. And I stayed in contact with this woman for over a year, and she finally got her own house. And it's, but I was able to share the gospel. I was able to, you know, tell my story, you know, what God did for me, and was able to lead her to the Lord. And, you know, and just to see him prove himself faithful. And I told her, I said, you know, he didn't leave you. He didn't forsake you. And she's like, I know, I see it now.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's so cool. That's a true scripture too, that he will give you beauty for your ashes. Because that's beauty that came out of something that was
really not
really
beautiful.
Dark and not beautiful.
All things together for his good. All the experiences that you went through, you're able to minister and help somebody else that they can't relate to somebody who grew up and, you know, never went through that stuff. So, you know, God uses everything. And I could relate to parts of your testimony. I'm sure I kept looking at you because I know you had been in I don't know all the details, but there was some abuse.
You know enough. Came home with strangulation marks around my neck, busted lips, all the, yes, black abuse. Blue. But I think the thing that really spoke to me that I can relate, and when you were able to discern between like what the lies were coming into mm-hmm. you, because you first heard them from yourself. You mentioned like, you know, you were thinking you were worthless, that you were, something's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. First you questioned your sanity, mm-hmm. then you started questioning everything being broken inside yourself. And then when it was reinforced by your environment, right? Yeah. You're the man you were living with that yeah. you're supposed to love, trust, find hope and stability from is literally telling you the same things and then worse, like pushed you right over the edge. So, you know, the enemy, he can be, and the enemy of our souls can be in our own heads. Like we can absolutely. Hear those sounds and we've got to take every yes. thought yes. captive, yes. right? Put on the yes. mind of Christ. Yes. And sometimes mm-hmm. it takes like telling, you know, ourselves yeah. to shut up because yeah. it's like that. But the worst part is, and this is something that we're seeing right now, like statistically, especially in this generation, the younger children, suicide rates are through the roof. Yeah. Depression is through the roof and yeah. anxiety is through the roof. You know, a book just came out the other day about a lady named Abigail Schreier who just like released it. I'm just saying, she said that there is an entire generation of people that were put on ADHD medication and mm. no longer know how to cope with emotions. Yes. Their parents are that generation.
Yeah.
That's me. My friends were yes. the ones on ADHD meds back in high school in the 90s yeah. mm-hmm. and in the early 2000s. Now they have kids
yes.
and their kids can't cope with emotions because their parents don't know how to cope with emotions because
yeah.
their parents gave them medicine to tune it down. So
yeah.
we are in a situation now where your story, like God can use that for these young children that are so lost, mm-hmm. that don't have parents, mm-hmm. you know, like they couldn't go for stability and hope, like you couldn't turn to the man, right? Mm-hmm. But we can turn to God
yes,
and right. we can be those women yeah. that are bold enough to be like, you know what, this was really dark, this was embarrassing. Yeah. As a mom, I don't want to talk to my kids about stuff like that, right?
Right?
It's easier to talk to other women or to strangers, right?
Yeah.
But if I have to go home and sit in front of Zach and be like, listen, this one time Bobby beat me. Oh, that's a terrible thing to have yeah. to tell your yeah. kid, right? Yeah. And I let it happen. What's wrong? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's a real situation that yeah. I will probably have to someday talk to my son about. But by the grace of God, he will grow. He will never become a gentleman like that
Amen.
Because we're breaking those barriers,
Amen.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you're here with me. This is proof. Your mother didn't talk to you like this.
Mm-mm.
My grandma didn't talk to my dad like this. Like, we can change now for the
yeah,
good
right.
as his vessels in his light, right? Getting,
yeah.
you said it in the beginning of this, not on air, but less of us, right? More of
yeah.
him. And sometimes
right.
less of us looks like crucifying our flesh
yeah,
and,
yeah.
and airing that dirty laundry
yeah.
so that somebody
yeah.
can glean what it looks like to be clean, because amen, we are clean today.
Yes.
And it's not a clean, beautiful world. And,
no.
and we're constantly having to dust off our shoes. What does
yeah.
it say? Like when you're disgraced, and a prophet goes to his own town and he's disgraced and it says, well, if they don't receive it, dust off your sandals
yeah.
and go
yeah.
do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go tell your story again.
Yeah,
and
right.
and all we really can do is tell our story. The good news is the gospel, right? It's
yeah.
his story, but it's her story in his story
yeah,
right.
that we get
yeah.
to share,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah,
so thank you for being
yes.
able to do that.